Before we get into baseball talk, did you take a few minutes? Did you get a chance to watch the fight?
No, I didn't actually. We were in Cleveland, and we had a 4 o'clock game, and it was really nowhere to try to sneak out and see it. And I think it only started around midnight, anyways. But I actually wanted to, and I wonder with the rotator cuff injury. I know this is not why I'm on the call, but just from a baseball perspective, those are pretty significant injuries, and hard to know how it impacts a boxer. But if a guy's going to be out 9 to 11 or 12 months, I would think there had to have been pretty significant impact there. And I know, Steven, you mentioned you think it'd be tough to have a rematch on this, but I don't know. I mean, if he said he's sore, that's one thing, but if he's actually going under the knife and he's out a year, I'd have to think it was pretty serious thing.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point, Alex. But you know, if watching the fight, he didn't look like a guy who had a completely dead arm, and you know, it almost would.
Yeah, if you didn't know, and again, I said to Steven, I know you didn't hear this, Alex, but I heard about it early in the week, and sort of discounted it because no one could confirm or would confirm that it was true. But if you didn't know that there was anything wrong with Manny Pacquiao, you would not have been able to tell by watching the fight. I know Steven said, well, maybe he could have thrown more right hands. It was a right-hand problem. And yes, he's probably right that there was some impact, but it was not to the point, like, the guy didn't fight one-handed. And we've seen guys actually fight one-handed because they ripped a shoulder, broke a hand, did something. Couldn't use that other hand. You didn't see that with Pacquiao.
And I guess, Alex, guys, you know, if pitchers have partial tears or small tears in their labrum and continue to pitch at times, correct?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. There's plenty of guys. The rotator cuff, though, is a lot more significant. And if it's a labrum, not that, again, I'm definitely speaking out of school, but, you know, the little that I've, you know, learned from these things over the years, the rotator cuff is significantly more scary from a baseball standpoint than it is the labrum is. There's plenty of guys that have a torn labrum and, like, could be 20%, 30%, 40%, and they pitch with it. They may not have any other problems. The thing is, though, clearly there was something going on prior to the fight, and this was, it sounds like, pre-MRIs and all that, and whether they screwed up or not, but there was something going on before the fight that they had asked for an exemption, and Toradol, it does, it will basically numb you, from my understanding of it. And, you know, players use it in all kinds of sports, and obviously there's a lot of debates about that. But, you know, clearly there was an issue prior to the fight in training. They asked for the Toradol. Then they find out, I assume after they got MRIs, they find out there's a significant tear that needs to get fixed, because I think every doctor will tell you they always want to avoid surgery at all costs. They want to rehab things at all costs. The last resort, even when you see some of these guys with Tommy John, everybody always tries to rehab first. Every time we go through anything from a medical standpoint, doctors will look for every opportunity to rehab someone without having them go under the knife. So for them to make the determination so fast to have to operate, again, without having any insider knowledge, would make me think it might be a lot more serious than everyone might think. So,
all right, let's get to baseball, because that's why you're obviously on this program. Brent sure. And I were away last week, and we missed a lot of the goings-on. You obviously made a bunch of decisions. I'm wondering whether these were individual decisions made at this simultaneously, or was this in some way a collective decision that maybe it's time to give some of these kids a little more seasoning at AAA? Individual or collective decision?
Individual, because you look at a guy like Osuna, he's flourished. You look at a guy like Travis that never had an at bat at AAA, he's flourished as well. So I know everyone made a lot of six of those guys breaking north with the team. It could have been eight, it could have been two, it could have been three. Just going off the spring training look, Castro looked like he was further ahead than Osuna at the time. Norris certainly looked like he was ahead of some of the other guys. But again, you have to evaluate as the year's going along, and this happens to established players as well. I mean, we saw Adam Lind win the Silver Slugger in 2009, and a few years later have to be sent down. We saw Edwin Encarnacion on a guaranteed contract making $5 million have to be outrighted and sent down to the minor leagues as well. It happens, and, you know, that's the one advantage when you have young players that have options and make the minimum. You have the ability to freely send them up and down if they need to work on things. The tough part when you have those established players that make quite a bit of money and have over 5 years of experience, you don't have the ability to send them down. They have the right to refuse the assignment, and ultimately you have to release them. So you end up having to stay with them and just ride it out, even if it takes two months. So hopefully it's short-lived for all these guys. We just prefer to do it sooner than later if we think they need to work on some things.
Now, Norris is a guy who's had consistency issues in terms of consistency of delivery and command issues at times in his minor league career. So I guess that I assume that's what he's going to work on in Buffalo. But in terms of Castro, Alex, what's the difference between the unhittable Castro and the very hittable Castro, both of whom we've seen?
I think it came down to command of the fastball. He started to miss some. We started noticing a little bit. I think we were in Tampa. We just thought his arm slot was getting a little bit low. Remember, we were up watching the game, and he was getting loose, and the bullpens are out on the field, and we were just watching, saying it seemed like his slot was getting a little low. And talking to Dane Johnson as well, he thought so. And ultimately, he's already a lower arm slot guy. If it gets even lower, he tends to miss now to his arm side, and he's having a harder time commanding the ball. And his changeup is not something he's going to throw for a strike. So ultimately, he became a one-pitch guy, and everyone's just sitting on the fastball and the slider. I'd say collectively his stuff, just his command really eroded. And it might just be to get back on track. And that's why we're going to have him start down there. And it's not like he's going to jump up to 5-6 innings right away, but just the consistency of a routine, starting out at 2 innings, having sides in between, throwing bullpens, being able to work on his consistency of his slider, his changeup, his fastball, just to get him sharp again. And hopefully, you know, the minimum when these guys get option has to be 10 days by rule, unless they're recalled because someone's placed on the DL. So we're hoping it's short-lived. The hard part is when you get relegated down to the 6th inning, you're looking for opportunities, you're in the bullpen, you can't throw a side the day of the game or after the game because you might be needed the next day. So it's hard to work through those things at the big league level. So we could have certainly kept him up here, especially if he's in that 6th inning role, and try to have him work through it. We think we can accelerate the process if we get him steady work down there, and hopefully he's back soon.
All right, you explained Castro not just going down, but starting, and the reasons for that. When he comes back up, I won't say if, when he comes back up, do you project him as a starter, or do you put him back in the pen?
I would say the likelihood would still be the bullpen. But again, I wouldn't close any door. I mean, if he, depending on how long he's down there for, I guess the hope would be that he's not down there so long that he has multiple 6-inning starts and, he's really a viable candidate to start for. So the thought is more to, we bounced around all kinds of ideas. We have a role that we call priority bullpen guy, which is basically 2 or 3 innings. You have your days set, maybe every third day, every fourth day, so many innings, so much work. But we just felt the routine of starting, getting the side work, because the one thing when you are a priority bullpen guy, you still can't throw a side with the coach in between. So we just decided starting is the option. So I would expect him to come back in the bullpen. If he really starts to take off, we have a need, and he really starts to emerge as a starter, sure, we'd be open to that. We wouldn't close any doors.
Now, obviously, there's a domino effect when your starters, you have your rotation struggles and they go short. That has a domino effect in the bullpen. That's part of what's happened to the bullpen. I wonder, Alex, and we're talking a lot about Norris and, a little bit about Sanchez and his being erratic. But, I was talking to Bob about this yesterday. The first three guys, Les Dickey. But let's say you're 2 and 3 guys. How concerned are you right now about Mark Burley at this stage in his career and about Drew Hutchison, a guy who, you need, to be a steady and consistent front of the rotation?
And has been anything but.
He's had one quality start so far this year. How concerned are you about those two?
Sure. I think with Mark, he's been through this before. He's had, you look at 2013, he started out slow. And I think because of his age, everyone's always going to point to everyone's always going to say, do you think that there's something more there? I just think he's been too consistent for too long. He has hot and cold streaks, and he certainly he did not look good in Cleveland. I thought in Tampa there wasn't necessarily a lot of hard contact. In Cleveland, there was. They hit the ball hard. He just didn't have a good outing. Some of those other outings, obviously, we scored a ton of runs for him. But, again, we've seen Mark go through this before, and stuff's the same. I expect him to get on a roll and get back on track, so I'm not concerned with him. Drew, on the other hand, that one's tough to explain. And he had a good start on opening day, couldn't go deep in any games prior to the game against the Rays and the Orioles, I believe, and we even felt the game against the Indians for those 4 innings he looked fine.
Yeah.
Thought he looked good, wasn't concerned at all, and in the 5th inning the wheels just came off, and hard to explain. And I'd like to point this one specific thing that we've seen. The game against the Red Sox, That's probably as bad as I've seen him, and I basically threw it out. It's not a game where you expect him to walk 5 and not strike anybody out, and that was probably the most alarming part of it, that he didn't get any strikeouts, and it's a guy that gets a ton of swing and miss. But the game against Cleveland, I thought he looked good up until the 5th. So I'd be very curious to see what he does the next time out. I wish I had something to point to. I really don't. I felt much better about him through the first four innings, and that does give me a little bit of hope that the Boston start, I throw it out. The other ones, a lot of inconsistency. Stuff looks the same. But we're just going to continue to watch him, and we're talking about it daily. We just don't know that we have the answers right now, and we'll just continue to watch.
Now, you don't have, you know, worst-case scenarios here, you don't have a ton of alternatives. You know, Dubront hasn't pitched yet, correct?
Yeah, he's down. Felix is down in extended. He made a three-inning outing a few days ago. His next one's going to be 4-5, and then I believe after that, so that'll probably be in about three days or so. And after that, we'll probably get him up to the AAA rotation at that time. So hopefully he'll start to become a viable candidate. But there's no doubt, in terms of established starters, normally you don't have those guys at the minor league level.
Right.
The guys with the greatest impact on most parts are normally some young guys that you think can certainly give you a spark. And look, our hope is that Norris is that guy that it's a similar impact to what we did with Stroman. Came up, had a good first outing out of the bullpen, and I think the next two he got hit very hard and needed to go back down, just regain his confidence, get back to his consistency. I think he was back within 2.5 weeks, and then he went on a tear for us. And we're hopeful with Norris because we did have a discussion about giving him one more after the Indian start, but ultimately we felt like long-term, if we can just get him consistent sooner than later, rather than trying to milk him through one good start, one bad start, one good start, one bad start, just get him rolling a little bit like he was last year, that's probably going to serve us in a much better capacity long-term. So we're hopeful with all these guys that these are short-term demotions, and we'd rather do it sooner rather than later so we have a better idea what we have going into June.
I guess what I'm saying is that the cavalry's not going to come riding over the hill here. You know, the Wolf and Dubront and the long shot of Santana, the cavalry's, you know, those young guys that are going to give you a spark are already here or have been here.
Yeah, I would agree, and I would say that, look, certainly for the month of May, what we have internally is what we're going to be going with. And certainly there's room for improvement. And again, with all these guys, it wouldn't surprise any of us if all of a sudden Norris, you know, he was one start removed from having a great outing and his stuff looked great. But even in the first two innings of that game against the Rays, he was still a little inconsistent. And then he got in the gear in the third inning, and he went off, and he was the guy that we've seen for a long time. And to see him not come out and be able to reproduce that the next time out, that's what we want to try to iron out and get some of that consistency back. But, look, there's no doubt about it. For the month of May, the guys that we have in the organization are the ones we're going to most likely have to go with. I think the earliest you could see us go outside the organization would be after the draft around mid-June.
You mentioned Santana. Give us an update.
He's throwing his progress has been very, very slow. So he's throwing 90 feet right now. So he's still quite a ways away. He has a lot of hurdles he still has to go through. It's just been a very slow process for him. I really don't have a timetable at this point, just that's the latest at this time. And we'll just continue to watch him, but it has been slow.
Is he still hurting?
He just gets sore a little bit from time to time, and he's just moving a little bit more slowly. We can't move him too far, too fast. So he's progressed, obviously, to 90 feet, but it's not going at a quick pace. And sometimes if there's a little bit soreness post-throwing, it takes a little bit of time. So right now we really don't have a time frame on him.
Now, the other guy you made a decision on was Dalton Pompey, who, you know, had a crazy year last year, you know, crazy good year last year, jumped from four levels, you know, went to the fall league, found out he had the job or had a shot at the job, won the job in spring training, hometown, all the hometown stuff. And now he's back in Buffalo. Was it all a little bit too much for him off the start, do you think, Alex?
You know what? I definitely think he started to press. I think once he struggled, which he struggled in his minor league career. He's been through adversities. He's been hurt. He's had rough years and months and slumps and things like that. Like you said, last year was a great year for him, and even continuing at the big league level, he played well. He was aggressive. He was confident from his play defensively. And, you know, I can't speak for him, but it definitely seemed as though I think just some of the struggles he had the first month, he took those hard. And, that happens to young players. And that's when a lot of times, I don't want to say those are the easy decisions to make, but there's times when you're making a decision whether to send a young player down and whether you need to give them more time. The ones where you don't need to debate is if you think someone's lost their confidence and they need to just reset themselves and go down, have some success, get away from it, and get going. And I remember, not the same guy, but I remember Adam Lynn years ago going through the same thing. It just seemed like he was hitting 180, and he just needed to go back down and just reset himself and get going again. So some of these guys, I think that's what it came down to with Dalton. Certainly the talent, the ability is there. And I know his comments to the media about, playing a little bit, not to make a mistake. Those are things that he's being honest, and I applaud him for that. But he knows, and we all know, that you can't do that up here. And if that's the case, you need to go down there, get back, get away from it, hopefully have some success, and be back soon.
One of the other things you did was called up Chris Colabello, who's played well in Buffalo. But is this a function of rewarding his great play or a recognition that you may need some help in the outfield for the next little while?
I think the big part of it is the timing. We have the off day on Thursday, so for the next 2 days, we just need a right-handed bat. Valencia's a little bit sore with his ankle, so he might need a day or two. And then you've got Saunders as well, who had his knee drained on Monday. And he'd be available if we needed him to go into the game, but we'd like to give him these days with the off day to be back on Friday. Then you start factoring in as well. Jose Bautista's not ready to play the outfield. So we are playing short in terms of, no pun intended, a backup shortstop today. If something was to happen to Ryan Goins in the middle of the game, you could have Donaldson slide over if that was to happen for two or three innings. Hopefully it does not, but that would be the worst case scenario for one game if something was to happen. And then we obviously can call up a middle infielder tomorrow if need be. So Colabello is a right-handed bat. He's got power. He can give us a little more offense, more of a first base type. He's played a little bit of outfield, but that's certainly not his area. He's more of a first baseman, but he's someone that can just give us a little bit of a jolt offensively for the next 2 days here and perhaps beyond that. But I think our focus right now is on the next two and getting through the off day.
Bautista and Reyes, give us some kind of a timetable. I know Bautista's not playing tonight. What are your expectations?
With Bautista, we're hopeful that he can get back to the outfield next week. By no means are we expecting that. He has not started throwing yet. We're trying to give it as much time as we can. He's obviously still sore. He's progressing, but it is coming along slowly. And the reason I say next week at the earliest is, at some point he has to start playing catch and long tossing. And, to get to the point where you're back out in the outfield and trying to throw a guy out at home or third base and so on, you're going to need to get some work prior to that. So that's his status. With respect to Jose Reyes, he feels very good. He's still keeping his legs in shape. Basically what he had with his rib is the equivalent of if you had a scab, and if you pick up the scab, obviously, then you eliminate a lot of the healing process that's already taken place. So with that bone that's trying to heal, the fracture there in the corner, we're trying to wait as long as we can before he does anything left-handed. I believe on Sunday we'll mark 4 weeks from the time he really hasn't done any activity left-handed, and the plan would be to re-MRI him Sunday or Monday, I believe. Re-MRI him, see if that's healed. If it is healed, we'll probably get him going, get him swinging left-handed, and he would be back soon. If it's not entirely healed, we might need to give it a little bit more time, but it's certainly moving in the right direction, and we'll know more once we get the MRI again.
In terms of Bautista's shoulder, Alex, so is there the injury itself, is it something, are you guys are totally confident it will heal with time, or is there still the possibility they'll have to do something there?
No, I've asked that exact question because I didn't expect it to be as long as it's been. We did all the MRIs, and they were completely clean, just some inflammation in there. You don't know how everyone's going to recover, especially from body parts. And Jose is normally a very quick healer with any issues that he's ever had. Again, we've never had him have a shoulder problem before. So from that standpoint, I've asked that question. Our doctors and trainers are confident it will resolve itself and it will heal. It's just been taking a little longer than we all would have hoped. But the fact that it's moving in the right direction and he is improving at this point is encouraging. So it will resolve itself. But we might be looking a week to 10 days at this point.